Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Conversation. I'm your host today, John Stevenson. I'm here with Graham Nystrom, subbing in. Typically, and part of the mission of KMUN is to provide news and commentary on local issues. And I think we do a good job on that and do it pretty continuously. There's an election coming up, and if you stay tuned to KMUN on a number of the programs, that's going to be the focus. And my sense is it'll probably be the focus of this program next week. But given that we've got the wherewithal now for you all to call in, I'm going to go national today. And one of the reasons for that, and I think this is a unique thing for the station now, is that you can actually get through and get on the air with your opinion, which would make us different than all of the other call-in shows where you might have a chance, one in a million, to be heard. And I think that cuts across the whole spectrum of call-in shows, that your chances of getting through are pretty slim. Here, your chances are great. It's 503-325-0010. And the topic today that I want to put out is, it's fourfold. It has to do with the national election. I believe both primaries or both conventions are about a year off, I think normally in June. And there's a whole crowd of Democrats throwing their hat into the ring. And today we can go through them and try and find some differentiation on the issues. And that's not easy because, for the most part, they're all saying the same thing. So if you want to call in and talk about how one or the other differentiates in a way that's compelling to you, we'd love to hear that. Or that, since everybody, for the most part, agrees on everything, which candidate do you think would have the best chance of winning? And because of everyone agreeing, electability to beat Trump in 2020 may be the focus, and we want to hear about that. If you're a Republican, if you're a Trump Republican, give us a call and maybe weigh in on which Democrat you'd like the president to run against. If you're a non-Trump Republican, maybe you could indicate who you'd like to see challenge President Trump in the Republican convention for the nomination. So those are the topics for today, and I'll go through some of the issues and again to try and find some differentiation amongst the Democrats, which isn't going to be easy because there's so much unanimity. 503-325-0010. Check in. This is a call-in show where you can actually get through and be heard on the air. Starting out on abortion, there is 100% unanimity that abortion should be legal. And where it goes from there in terms of funding Planned Parenthood and the degree or the time frames of abortion, there may be some separation, but everyone would be considered pro-choice. In the topic of corporate donations and where the money comes from in elections, there's unanimity also in terms of corporate PAC donations, overturning Citizens United and publicly funded elections. All the Democrats that have weighed in are in favor of all those things, except Joe Biden, who is not for blocking corporate PAC donations. And some of these opinions could be not current. In other words, if somebody like Joe Biden has held an opinion and hasn't changed it, this may be an opinion of his that may change over time. We've got a call, so let's see what's cooking.
You're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Good morning, John. This is Gwen.
Hey, Gwen.
I'm sorry, but I'm not as strong on issues as I am on personality and the problem that we have with this audacious man and who can stand on a stage against him and defeat him. And I think that we have some front runners. I think Kamala Harris is very strong. She did wonderful job at She the People conference. She's a fighter. She's got a great justice system background, and we really, really need to clean up on the justice system right now. I really like our governor Jay Inslee because of his stand on the environment. I think the environment is a key issue, and any Democrat that stands is going to end up standing. Is going to be standing for the environment.
Yeah, let me go through the environmental issues and see if there's any opinions in there at odds with what you say. The Green New Deal, and obviously this has a lot of variability in their opinions as far as the time frames. What's a goal? What's an aspiration?
I have not read it, John. So what? Explain it.
Explaining the Green New Deal?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's an aggressive environmental protection issue that if it was to be implemented straight away, it would change things most radically. In other words, you know, everything we do would change to some degree. And that's not an opinion. That's kind of what it stands for. So where the variability comes into, and I think this is the story with the Democrats, everyone agrees with that kind of thing having to happen. It's just the time frame. You know, if it's aspirational, you put it out on the long, long time frame. If it's immediate, then it would be a radical shift from what we do now. And all the candidates support the Green New Deal. But it's got a lot of asterisks in terms of how it would be implemented, what its cost would be, how we would pay for it, and I think primarily the time frame. So going back to what you said about Kamala Harris, when I see—
By the way, I stand with Greta. I stand with the children and the environment. This is a crisis. So I love the children's movement. And if we can get more children behind issues like the environment, particularly the environment and racial issues, I'd love to see that one resolved.
You know, yesterday here on Michael McCusker's show, he read her statement her letter that she read to the British Parliament. And it was brilliant.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know. I hope that's getting getting out there, because it was so damn persuasive.
How do we stand with her? How do we do this? How do we let the children lead?
Well, let me go back to what you said about Kamala Harris.
Yes,
and this is a conundrum, I think, until the candidates maybe start to separate a little bit on the details of the issues and differentiate themselves that way. What would you say if everybody agrees on what needs to be done, and so we've got to find a candidate that is most electable? Would you say that all things being equal, we should, just for the sake of electing a woman, we should put a woman forward?
Yes.
I do, too. You know, again, all things being equal, it's so overdue. And Kamala Harris, like you said—
let's move from testosterone to estrogen for just a moment here, folks. We've got to go back to Gaia, Mother Earth. We've got to have somebody saying, "Hey, boys, get it together. You're not doing a good job."
I'm with you, Gwen. I'm with you too.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. You know, like I said, if everybody wants to do the same thing, then the choice of the Democrat voters would be who's got the best chance to win and who you think, for other reasons, would be the best leader of America.
Wouldn't Pete Buttigieg be wonderful? He is just a bright, shining star. And, you know, could lead the kids, could lead the younger generation. We can't lose them. And we've got such a distrust in the elders right now. The elders are just conning them and lying to them.
You know, where Pete separates from some of the other Democrats is on single-payer health care. Most of the Democrat candidates are in favor of that. Pete is not. And Beto O'Rourke and Amy Klobuchar are not. And I think this needs some detail because it just may be a qualified no. As far as supporting public health insurance option, which I think is the bones of Obamacare, you know, bringing back Obamacare to what it was originally designed to be and fixing it and getting it properly funded, I think there's tons of support for that. But the info I have is that Pete is not for the single payer, and that will be an issue that's going to be huge in the election, who's got the best health care plan. And I know that the Republicans are saying they've got one secret plan stuck away in their back pocket that's going to be the greatest thing man has ever seen, but nobody's seen it yet. And if you're a Trump supporter, let
Please
us know.
Call in.
Yeah, we need to hear that side.
Right now.
What do you think he's got?
Please, I'd like to hear that plan because right now they've got it in the legislature. They're trying to defeat 21 million, throw 21 million people off of Obamacare.
Yeah, that's kind of happening under the radar.
In the courts, yeah.
Yeah, that they're going to cut it out. Their rationale is...
Hey.
Yeah, their rationale is because... the penalty aspect of Obamacare was cut, that they feel that renders the whole thing unconstitutional, yeah, and they're going after it. So for those of you that rely on that, if you're a person with pre-existing conditions, the things that Obamacare covered, that is in serious threat right now. And I'd like to see more of the Democrat candidates weighing in on that so we know what they've got up their sleeve.
That is important. We just have to tell the American people what is happening right now to their democracy and to the structure that's our safety security net, our social fabric, the fabric of our country. What's holding us together is being torn asunder. One brick at a time. The justice system is folding up like a, you know, like a cheap suit, and you know, and it's happening in front of our eyes. That's why I think we need a candidate who is law and order. That's why I think Kamala Harris will be a good leader, because we've got to be able to fix this thing that just happened to the whole FBI. You know, our justice system. People are not following the law of the land. People are now are going up against Congress and saying, "I'm not going to go and talk to you people. Why should I talk to you? I'm not talking to you."
Well, here's some info.
That's the structure of our country folding up. Yes?
Yeah. On criminal justice, there is some variance in amongst the Democrats, mostly Joe Biden. And like I said, this may not be a brand new opinion of his, and he's an evolving guy, that's for sure. But in the categories of criminal justice, the first three would be ending capital punishment, the legalization of marijuana, and expunging cannabis conviction records.
Okay.
He's the only one that is against all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's why people find him to be moderate, if that is an example of the moderate opinions these days.
I think we need Joe on the campaign trail, reminding Americans who we are. But Joe is not our candidate. We need a progressive candidate. I think, you know, everybody says Bernie would have won, you know, if he would have run. So I think we got to go progressive. I personally, you know, and a woman. So, folks, we need a little change. It's kind of important.
Right. You just got to, you know, this is a voter's conundrum. Do I support the candidate that has the best chance of winning, or do I support the candidate that reflects my point of view? Because the old slogan is, you cannot govern if you don't win. And unfortunately, you know,
if the American people, if we can't tell the American people through the impeachment process, we need the impeachment process to show everybody what's happening. What's happening? We're going to drag this out just like we did with Clinton, only it was stupid with Clinton. This, at least, we can uncover this whole financial empire. We need to open up this can of worms that we are looking at right now and show the American people, okay, if you want to vote for more of this, he's your guy. But we want you to see, even though the Republican Senate won't agree to it.
Yeah. Well, there's a reality out there, which is roughly 45% of Americans support Donald Trump. And when you combine that level of support with the way the Electoral College works, it's not going to be a slam dunk, and there's going to have to be pragmatic choices made. Otherwise,
support built on it can't be built on knowledge. It can't be built on knowledge, because the Republican Party has always been the party of law and order, and right now our law and order is crumbling, and we need to look at the Mueller report. We need to talk about it.
Yeah.
We need to get together, America.
Well, I think the Democrats are doing their best to keep it, you know, on the front burner and have it be part of that educational process you're talking about. I think they've done...
That's through impeachment, because the Congress then becomes a court. And everyone gets to see what's going on with this guy that's sitting in the White House, who says he's the most transparent president in history. We can't even see logs of who goes into the White House. You know, and he won't tell us what he talks about with Putin. I mean, this man is just, this needs to be talked about with the American people. We need to talk about this, and we can talk about it through the impeachment process.
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks for the call. And
thanks for the conversation, John.
Yeah, and...
Happy Friday.
Thanks loads. And let's see if we can get some more folks to check in with us.
Yes, please.
It's 503-325-0010. Get your opinion on the air, weigh in, and the phone lines are open.
John, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
To what extent does the Green New Deal mirror the real New Deal of 1933?
Well, you know, you have to talk to
somebody. Just a simple question.
Well, yeah, maybe in that the original New Deal, and if you're a historian out there, feel free to call in and correct me on this. I wasn't alive then, believe it or not, but I think it was a pretty radical movement in a very difficult time, and FDR threw the dice, tried to calculate the best result, and did things with the economy that had never been done before, as far as infusing money and job programs. And like I said, I think it was similar to the Green New Deal, and it was things that had never been done before. And to really understand the original New Deal, you'd have to really dig in on that whole FDR era. It was a weird time. I always think of the 20th century through maybe throughout its time as a time of extremes, communist or fascist, take your pick. And it seemed like the extremity of opinions then didn't know much middle ground. And that's what FDR was sort of up against, in incredible poverty, actual starvation, and 20-25% unemployment.
The goal being stabilizing the economy at the time, providing jobs and relief. And there's the three R's of the New Deal, relief, recovery, and reform. And I just wonder what the parallel is to the Green New Deal, because they wouldn't have called it the something-something New Deal if they weren't trying to, you know, harken back to a day where there was something that was successful.
Yeah, I think maybe, and I'd appreciate a call on this to sort of answer Graham's question better than I can do it, but maybe they were similar in their radical nature as far as fundamental change. And the Green New Deal, to me, they do play on the original New Deal as far as the verbiage, but that it's a fundamental and new way of doing something. If you listen to the experts, they would tell us that it needs to be done, and it needs to be done with extreme prejudice straight away.
The programs in the 1933 New Deal were created to meet the goals of generating jobs, but also, according to the Oracle, to create, more importantly, hope. And listening to Counterspin before this show, they mentioned that the amount of work involved in, you know, sort of rebuilding our energy structure would create jobs. Regarding the climate change, I think everybody is on board with a little more hope for the future, like Gwen said, about our children, about the earth, taking care of the things that are vital to our survival.
Is Michael McCusker podcasted?
Oh, yeah.
You might want to, if you're online and you can go to our website and check out Michael McCusker's program from yesterday. The girl, a 15 or 16-year-old girl from Sweden that's been speaking around the world, what she said to the English Parliament, Michael read yesterday, and it's something that I think everyone should listen to. She just single-handedly demolishes our generation for our lack of action and what we're going to – the mess we're going to be leaving her generation to live with or fix.
Well, the number is 503-325-0010. It's not Pledge Drive. You don't have to give us any money when you call. So give us a call and just join the conversation. We're talking about Democratic candidates for the 2020 presidential election. We were talking about Joe Biden, the only Democratic candidate interested in maintaining PAC contributions to campaign finance, being one of the few that's against legalization of marijuana and expunging of criminal records related to marijuana. And then we were talking about Kamala as an excellent candidate. All things being equal, let's put a woman forward. But we're talking about the presidential election, and we want to hear from you. This is your show. Give us a call.
Yeah, Joe is the only one of the candidates that's in support of the death penalty as well. Hard to figure out. You know, he's kind of new to the mix. And we'll find out a lot more about that. He is a sort of changeable guy. He's been around for so long. A lot of the stuff he did in his past, he has declaimed, but apparently not these three issues yet.
So if he was in a Doonesbury comic, he might show up as a waffle?
I guess. I don't know.
You don't remember Doonesbury?
Sort of.
All the presidents were just an object that represented sometimes their changeability on subject matter and other things.
But, you know, the interesting thing about Joe Biden is he leads the pack in terms of popular support, and I think that might be a call to those that are going to the left that they can have their great opinions. And it all makes sense to a degree, but you can't get anything done if you don't get elected.
And you got to win in order to lead, right?
Yeah. Interesting, the Electoral College, mostly unanimous to get rid of it.
Great.
Which is, I happened to look at a little video which was put out by the right-wing guy, Dennis Prager, who has a university, probably something like Trump, but they put out videos, and it was a little primer on why the Electoral College should be preserved. And if you want to check it out, you can see what the argument's going to be, but it was pretty flimsy data. And wouldn't it be a different country if the Electoral College went away and we would become a more democratic, technically a more democratic country with everybody's vote counting? I think we got a call.
We had one, but we lost it. Maybe that was something else.
The Paris Agreement, trying to get back into that, has unanimity. All of the candidates agree. The other one is the Iran deal, which has been tabled, or we've dropped out of it. But amongst the Democrat candidates, there's unanimity that we should do that again. And there's a number of websites out there where you can track the candidates and their opinion, move across the board, and see if anybody is going to try and differentiate themselves. I think it's going to be in the details. Something like the Green New Deal, it's easy to say I support it, period, but you got to get into all the stuff that it would involve, and that's when the candidates will probably start to differentiate. If they don't, the question of all things being equal, should we elect a woman because she's a woman, is a legit question.
Yeah,
we got a call
in just a second.
Hey, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the national popular vote. It's not quite talking about the candidates, but it's related to that. And you guys were just talking about the Electoral College. I know Elizabeth Warren has come out and said she wants to abolish it. But in point of fact, the national popular vote movement, if you will neuter it in a way. We won't have to have a constitutional amendment to change it. I don't know if you're familiar with how that works or not. But
I am. And it's picking up steam, and state houses are approving it. I think there's been maybe a half a dozen that have already. But
18,
but don't think it's not going to be challenged. And if it can...
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But the other thing, too, is that in order for it to get to 270, which you have to have enough states to agree to the system, if you will, to get the 270 electoral votes to elect a president. And that's going to mean that some Republican-controlled states, that is to say governors, legislatures, which are completely Republican in those states, are going to have to vote for this.
Yeah.
And when it gets to that precipice, you can bet that there's going to be some challenges, doubt about it. The thing to consider is that each state is charged by the Constitution to set up their own elections in any way that they choose to do. That's why we have such chaos at the presidential level, as far as, you know, Oregon has a gold standard for elections.
As far as I'm concerned. The other thing with all the states doing it differently, it's really hard to protect the systems in terms of intrusion.
But because of that, this, I don't want to call it a scheme, but this idea of the national popular vote is one that could actually be implemented and change the system.
Yeah. Well, interesting, in the Democrat field, there's a lot of support for abolishing the Electoral College. And if that's a bridge too far, presumably all these same candidates would be totally in favor of what you're suggesting as the first step. I've got to take another call here. Thanks loads for the call and your opinion.
You're listening to The Conversation with your host today, John Stevenson. We're getting one more call patched through today. And thanks for joining us talking about... Oh, we lost that last call. That must have been for another staff member. So, John, in the last couple of minutes, any final thoughts? We might be able to squeeze one more call in.
Yeah, just... I guess I find it fascinating. And although, like I said, our station is primarily and almost exclusively focused on local matters, and there's a lot of important local matters that are coming up in very short order. I think from time to time, it's my opinion, at least, that we've got this system of where people can call in and have a good chance of getting through, and you can weigh in on more global matters. And that's not to say that these global or national issues don't trickle right down to what happens in downtown Astoria or the coastline that we serve. So once in a while, we'll hit national issues, and I know that many, many, many of the listeners for KMUN have got opinions on national matters.
That's right. And want to remind the listeners that there is an email set up for this show. And so if it's your preference to not call in and send us your question by email, that email is theconversation@coastradio.org. And that goes straight to your normal host, John Orr, who we look forward to having back in the studio next week.
You know, the one way to find out about the candidates will be the debates. But can you imagine 20 people on the stage? They're not even going to get past. If they give them 3 minutes each to just say who they are, we could be left with no time at all to work them over.
It makes sense to funnel it right up to the top one, two, or three candidates.
Yeah, just hard to determine how to determine who is the top candidates, except by polling.
Well, we can go with Gwen's suggestion.
Yeah.
Thanks for that call, Gwen. Thanks for everyone who called in today. You've been listening to The Conversation. This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 FM, and streaming on the web at coastradio.org.
Support for Friday Public Affairs comes in part from the Blue Scorcher Bakery Cafe, baking up community one loaf at a time. Located at 15th and Duane, Astoria, bluescorcher.coop and 503-338-7473. Open daily from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m.
The time is 10 o'clock. Stay tuned for NPR headline news at 10:01, followed by Friday Folk with your host Albert Smith at 10:06. Today's weather, partly sunny, high near 60 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 45. Looking forward to the weekend, mostly sunny on Saturday, high near 65. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low around 45. Sunday, again, mostly sunny, high near 60. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 45 degrees. Coming up at noon on Fresh Air, archive interview with two people who died this week. John Singleton, who wrote and directed the film Boys in the Hood, which received an Oscar nomination for Best Director, and Joe Sullivan Lesser, who starred in Frank Lesser's Broadway show The Most Happy Fella. It's 56 degrees in downtown Astoria, and you're tuned to Coast Community Radio.